Good evening, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here to present you our research under the title of Trends in the Socioeconomic Disparities of Smoke-Free Families in Taiwan. My name is Zhang Xingjie. Professor Zhang Douliang is the co-author of this paper, and we are from National Taiwan University. This is the outline of my presentation. I will first briefly introduce Taiwan's location and demography, then I'll talk about the background of my research, data and the method we use, and then the findings. I'll do a recap at the end. Taiwan is geographically located between Japan and the Philippines along the west rim of the Pacific Ocean. There are currently 23 million people in Taiwan. Per capita GNP is $15,676. 32% population have received higher education, and about 10% are age 65 or older. Life expectancy for men are 74 years old, and for female it is 80 years old, while the major killers are cancer, stroke, accident, heart disease, and diabetes. I base this on Professor Hans Rosling from Karolinska Institute. He has used the number of children surviving up to 5 years of age per 1,000 live births as an indicator of the health of a country, and the growth and the GDP to indicate the wealth of the country. As you can see, Taiwan is here, which is very close to the group of OECD countries, but still some small margins to catch up. Okay. Why did we choose smoke-free families instead of the individual to examine the social disparities in smoking? First of all, there is increasing concerns among the general public on the health damage of passive smoking. And what's more, the FCTC, especially for the Article 8, which stipulates a smoke-free environment for all, and has been endorsed by more than 150 countries in the world. Importantly, while most of the health campaigns somehow have limited effect on the individual, the family, as the core unit of the society, provides a better platform because of the intricate relationships and familial influences. In the area of tobacco control, one of the most important goals is to protect as many people of all ages as possible from passive smoking. The family is therefore an important target. Yet, few research have targeted at family level so far. Okay, I will show you a brief history of tobacco control in Taiwan. The first tobacco control NGO in Taiwan, the Zhang Tong Foundation, was founded in 1984. 3 years later, the cigarette market was forced open by foreign powers, which triggered the Taiwan government to start its first tobacco control campaign in 1989. The Tobacco Hazard Control Act went into effect in 1997, followed by the Health and Welfare Tax in 2002. 3 years later, in 2005, Taiwan officially ratified the FCTC to show its determination for tobacco control. And with the amendment of the Act on smoke-free public indoor places in 2007, Taiwan will be enforcing a smoke-free public indoor place law by 2009. I believe most health professionals are aware of the fact that smoking patterns are being contextualized by socioeconomic and cultural environments. Based on general findings from high-income countries after decades of tobacco control, evidence of reversed gradient relationship between smoking and SES is well documented, and attention now is focused on the less privileged to tackle the problem of social disparities in smoking. We have learned from this country's experience that groups with higher social status in better economic conditions are early adopters in quitting a non-smoking preference. Consequently, we are curious about how Taiwan's pattern looks like 20 years after the tobacco control movement. The objective is to describe the changing social patterns of smoke-free families in Taiwan over the past 30 years and to identify the different effects of family income and education on smoke-free families. Okay, this study is based on The data from the Family Income and Expenditure Survey conducted annually by the DGBAS in Taiwan. And the information in this survey covers three main categories. First, family composition and basic information of household members, such as age, gender, education, occupation, and sector of employment. Second, housing condition and facilities. And third, individual income and family expenditure. We focused on the year 1976, 1990, and 2006 as our study years, with approximately 9,500, 16,500, and 13,600 household samples for index, respectively. About the household SES indicators, we have chosen the household income and the education of the household head as twin indicators. The household disposable income quintile serves as a relative indicator of household income, while the education of the household head serves as a second indicator for the purpose of comparison. And it is categorized as follows: primary, 6 years or less; junior, 7 to 9 years of education; senior, 10 to 12 years; and college is 13 years and above. There are a few reasons why these two indicators are needed. First, the household income is a handy indicator of how prestige a family is. Not too long ago, smoking was deemed a prestige behavior among the elite of the society. Increasingly, education of the household head is linked to the kind of prestige, unlike the kind of household income, primarily because of its association with higher literacy, better social support and network, etc. Okay. Now here is how we define a smoke-free family. We examine the data in the FIES questionnaire about the annual tobacco consumption of all family members. When the number of zero is reported, the family is a smoke-free family. Regarding the statistical analysis, we will present trends in prevalence of smoke-free families over the 30 years and logistic regressions of each study year we conducted to compare the partial effect of income and education on smoke-free families after family compositional variables are adjusted. Here are the results. Figure 1 shows the dramatic increase of smoke-free families in Taiwan. In 1976, it was about 20%, and it went up to 30%, 33% in 1990, and to 50% in 2003. Table 1 shows the partial effect of family income and education of the household head on smoke-free families. In 1976, as you can see, the income brackets are significant factors in determining the smoke-free status. However, we also see a reverse gradient here. And this shows that in 1976 in Taiwan, the richer the families, the less likely for them to become smoke-free. Contrary to income, all levels of education are not only significant in determining the smoke-free status, but also show a positive gradient, meaning that the higher the education level of the household head, the more likely the family to become smoke-free. Okay, you know the changes when we move on to 1990. In Table 2, it shows that in 1990, the significance of household income dropped compared with 1976. Meanwhile, the richest quintile shows higher odds of becoming smoke-free, while the other bracket still shows a reverse gradient. In other words, the families in the richest quintile were the first ones becoming smoke-free, and the near-rich families were somehow still basking in the perceived social prestige associated with smoking in 1990. As to education of the household head, all levels remain significant as the positive gradient still exists across different educational levels. In Table 3, the picture becomes very different. With 50% of all families going smoke-free, household income no longer plays a crucial role in the smoke in determining the smoke-free status. The richest quintile keeps up their efforts in becoming smoke-free, and it is the first time in all study years that the odds ratio to the poorest quintile has risen to above 1, while the negative gradient in the other quintiles has all but disappeared. With regard to the education of the household head, it remains a significant factor in determining the smoke-free status. What's worth our attention here is that the gradient across different educational levels becomes significantly deeper between senior and college level. The odds ratio of junior high, senior high, and college level to the primary level are 1.21, 1.71, and 3.44, respectively. Okay, to sum up, we can see from this slide that over the past 30 years, the role of the family income in determining the smoke-free status has gradually become less important and has lost its significance here in 2003. On the other hand, education of the household head has been an important factor, and despite the fact that the disparities between college level and other levels have become worse in the past 13 years. Okay, now I will recap my research findings here. The smoke-free families in Taiwan has increased from 20% in 1976 to 55% in 2003, and families of higher SES are early adopters to become smoke-free. Education of the household head has become more important in determining the smoke-free status compared to the diminishing impact of family income. Educational disparities of smoke-free families have become worse, along with the overall improvement of smoke-free families in Taiwan. This cartoon character and his family were created by a popular artist for a nationwide campaign for smoke-free families by Zhang Tong Foundation and the Taiwan government in 2004. Thank you for your attention. Any questions? Complicated question. Okay, I think many of you have read a lot of literature on the debate that is income more important or education more important to a person's health. So I think my research and my advisor were trying to figure out between these two instead of to compile them as an index together to present the outcome. So we still believe that education would play more, we didn't include occupation here because in some way occupation is more related with income and also with education, so we control it already. So we here just try to see which is the income more important or education more important, and we believe there are some certain kinds of correlation between those families, but this is the findings now. So they are our study variables, and we were trying to understand the stratified differences, but because I have only 15 minutes, so I didn't introduce that part. So we did try to control income and education in some way, but because they are our main study variables, so yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't answer it now. related to this research, but this is quite interesting for us already. Yeah. Yeah, but because it's a household-based survey, so I mean we suppose that the household head, no matter he's a female or male, he or she has some kind of influence on the family. If he or she receives higher education at that time, no matter how many percent, I mean, people have received higher education or not, it should be more important than the family income in determining the status. Yeah, that's how we design studies.